Dear Pilgrim Partners, every word of God is pure, and all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Thanksgiving already seems a long time ago, doesn't it? But my family and I had a rare opportunity that over the school break, we took our three oldest children, 7, 5, and 3, to opening movie at the theater at the mall. Because it was opening weekend for that movie, my wife had to get tickets at least 2 hours in advance, and we had to show up at least 45 minutes early. Not long after we got there, the line extended beyond, and we were able to get in and get our seats, and the kids were really excited. But I got kind of sad as the movie began, because a father came with his little boy, and they walked up and down the aisles. You could tell the son was disappointed too, because there were no seats available. It took me back 2,000 years to when Mary and Joseph had traveled a great distance to get to Bethlehem, whether by camel or donkey. And how disappointed would they have been when they got to the first inn in Bethlehem and they found out there was no room. What were they going to do? Thinking there in the theater, what would happen if a pregnant woman had come in there and all of a sudden started to give birth? Would we have shooed her away and say, well, there's no room in here in the theater? We're trying to watch our movie. Or would we have allowed her to do so? You think about that for a moment, and we often take for granted the simple truths that God's Word gives us. When we look at the Word of God for our portion this evening, on the back of your bulletin, it's just one simple verse, a verse that you know well from Luke 2, verse 7. And she wrapped them in swaddling clothes and laid them in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And Christ Jesus, God's Son, who teaches us again this evening what it means to serve to your fellow redeemed in Christ. Looking back at Christmas Eve in Fridley, Minnesota, at Grace Lutheran, my home congregation growing up, I remember very well the Christmas Eve service. Because I remember how excited I was when I was probably my oldest son's age, 6 or 7, and I had to learn the Luke 2 account. I was beaming when I got to say that in front of the whole congregation. How well do you remember doing that, if you had the opportunity to do so? When we think about that first 7 verses that takes us up to the Luke 2 account, how well would we do? Would you like to help me try again this evening? And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Ooh, I started too late, didn't I? Yeah. And it came to pass. I was just testing you. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all went to be taxed. Every testing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, and wait with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Good job. I just did it last week, and I still made a bunch of mistakes. But it takes us back to those days, or even takes us looking ahead to what we're going to be celebrating not long from now. When we think about that, and I think about those days when I was growing up saying those things, did I fully grasp, you know, verse 7 or any of those verses? That there was no room for them in the inn. What did that mean? Well, I think today, and I ask you the question this evening, isn't the manger amazing? You might cut me short and say no. Now, the manger was not amazing. It was a feeding trough, and it was in a stable or a cave, and it probably stunk because that's where animals lived. How can you say the manger was amazing? When we think about it, and we think about that manger scene, that Jesus wasn't in some snug inn, But Jesus was in a very real place. As we went back and had to repeat that first verse, when Caesar Augustus had the world be taxed, that historical context is important because it reminds us again that these events really happened, that they took place just over 2,000 years ago. Jesus' first crib wasn't a nice palace, handmade, carved crib fit for a king. But as I mentioned, it was just a feeding trough. It's so easy for us, as we hear or recite those words again, to gloss over a simple verse like we have this evening. Was it by accident that Jesus was born in that manger, in that barn outside of Bethlehem? When we think about that, couldn't the Father, the Almighty God in heaven, have provided a more suitable place for His Son to be born? There's a deep and profound message here, isn't there? From Philippians chapter 2, we learn of the humility of our Savior. It says very clearly that He didn't grasp or flaunt that when He took on our flesh. He had the rights. That was His inheritance as the Son of God. But it says there very clearly that He made Himself nothing. You'll learn a little Greek tonight. The Greek word for that is kenao. Literally means to make empty. He did not make full use of His powers. He emptied Himself of that glory that He deserved. We have to ask the question, why did He do that? When He didn't have to do that. That word there in Philippians means that He made Himself nothing. He made empty. Jesus literally emptied Himself of all the privileges that were due to Him as a Son of God. So that in order, we can see for us today His example and lesson for us. I was telling the school kids when I was doing a service back a week ago, imagine yourself at recess, and that you took last place on purpose so that everyone else could win. That's exactly what we see here in the lesson that Jesus teaches us. He was the poorest of the poor. We see that in His conditions, and how He was born and how He lived. But His mission wasn't to be rich in this world, but says very clearly in Luke 4, that He came to proclaim and to preach the good news to the poor. Now, what kind of poor are we talking about? Not the poor financially, of course that's true also, but to each one of us who are poor in spirit because of our sin, because of our guilt for disobeying God's word and laws. That's who Jesus came to preach to. That was His mission. And so we see that lesson in His simple birth. In fact, before He was even born and when He was born, Jesus was already teaching us lessons about what it means to serve. There was no mistake, no accident that Jesus was born in that stable, in that manger. Because He reminds us, as He did the disciples who argued about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven, that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give His life a ransom for many. That includes us. And that's why 2,000 years later we continue to celebrate and worship that King born so humbly during this time of year. The manger is amazing because it wasn't by accident that our heavenly King was born. And because there was no room for them in the inn, my children may not fully grasp that now, but I look forward to see their beaming faces as I once had, reciting that Luke 2 account. Whether they grasp it or not, it makes no difference because I have the opportunity to teach them if they don't fully grasp it. Just as we all have the opportunity to teach one another what this season of the year, what this birth of our Savior is all about. The manger is amazing because Jesus was teaching us the value of service, putting others above ourselves. His message is clear that His disciples were not to seek their own glory, and we are His disciples today, those who follow Christ. Our example from our Savior's servanthood. And that's a good thing, because we know what He has promised to us as His servants. Jesus gives us the full meaning of our theme for this Advent, making room for Jesus, because that's an ongoing action each and every day. Where do we need to make room? When we think about what it means to be a servant, it is when it's convenient. But it's also when it's not convenient to serve. whether it be a spouse or a family member or a friend or a coworker. Yeah, even when it's not convenient. Being a servant is when we're serving even when no one understands what we're doing. Or even when no one appreciates what we're doing. Being a servant for Christ doesn't make excuses that I can't make room in my calendar, that I can't make room in my home to talk about Jesus, that I can't make room in my life for serving Christ. That's what it means about following Christ, that we don't make excuses for who our King and Lord is and who we serve each day. Philippians reminds us very clear of what our attitude of our Savior was and still is for us today. The same humble King that was born in that manger is the same humble Lord and Savior with His almighty power that continues to serve each of you today. That's a wonderful truth, isn't it? Advent and Christmas teaches us to look to God the Spirit. My friends, to kanao, to literally empty our hearts of all the things of this world that would clog and distract us from the true meaning of what we're celebrating this time of year. We want a heart that beats well. We want a heart that beats fervently with love for our Savior. And so we need the Spirit. Think of this evening as a prayer to the Spirit to help remove all those things that clutter and get in the way of following and serving our Savior. The motivation for that comes alone from what our Savior has done for us. The ultimate service of dying for us, for our sins, for our eternal joy in heaven. We pray for the Spirit this evening to make empty our hearts so that there is room for our Savior, so that our hearts could continue to sing and give glory to our King. Or we look back to our childhood, Lord willing, learning these things from early on, or we look forward to the coming Christmas celebration. God prepares our hearts now in the reading and hearing of His Word. God prepares our hearts now, not just for the celebration of His birth, for the celebration of eternal life with Him. What a privilege we have to be here this evening, to look forward, to look ahead, and to be thankful beyond Thanksgiving, because she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Amen. May this peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in your greatest treasure, our Lord Jesus Christ.